Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
This pod is proudly brought to you by rockauto.com.
Oh, yeah.
Get all the parts you could ever need. Amazingly low prices. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with the... You didn't ask for it, but we're bringing it to you anyways. It's the Reggie Jackson season grade. I feel like...
We only got like 17 games out of him or whatever. We know what we got.
We're gonna kind of roll it into his postseason grade. In case you've missed these so far, we've run through the starters as well as the bench, giving them all postseason grades. So go ahead and check those out if you haven't already. And then, man, in the light of the drastic changes that Ballmer wants to see, we're gonna kind of talk about a good direction sort of for this team to go, and possibly even a bad direction.
There's some ways it could go bad.
But we're going to discuss a little bit about, you know, what this could look like.
a lot of questions.
Yeah, and then in shavings, you know, Doc is already interviewing for the 76ers job.
Seems like too fast.
Seems like too fast. And whatever's kicking around in there... So stick around for all of that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so we were talking to Reggie Jackson before we started this pod. Just really quick, he's an unrestricted free agent this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Do the Clippers re-sign him? He's PG's guy. They have to have their lockers next to each other. We know that for a fact.
I think you give him an offer depending on what you can get.
Yeah, because his so he signed. I mean, we have him for the minimum. The contract before that was a 5-for-80 deal from the Pistons, which we're not giving him anything close to that. So it's going to be interesting.
5-for-80 is a lot for Reggie.
That's insane. That's a Pistons contract is what that is. But so in the postseason, we had Reggie for 12 games. He was a DNP in one, which gave a lot of Clippers fans hope. Mm-hmm. There was this glimmer of hope that maybe once Bev came back, it was kind of just totally done for Reggie. But hey, that's not how things work. Doc did his thing, and he was not done. His stats in these games, 5 points, 2 boards, 1 assist in 14 minutes a game. I was surprised that total was so low because anytime he was in, it felt like it was like 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had one elite pass. I'm pretty sure it was to Marcus Morris in the game that Luka hit the game winner from out of, or to Kawhi from out of bounds, hit a three. It was great. His splits were frustrating. He shot 44% from the field, 53% from three, and then 0% from free throw, none of them attempted, which is also frustrating when you consider how much he just barreled into the lane.
Yeah.
And tried to get free throws, I guess. Yeah. The 3-point shooting, when it was done from kind of a spot up variety, it seemed like that's what most people were happy with as his role.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah, and he can take some possessions off of Lou Will and have some possessions where Lou Will is kind of more off ball. He's not the best decision maker.
No, I would say he's one of the worst.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not ever going to be, he's never going to fit in with the starters. I think that he makes sense to keep on your bench in the backcourt. Especially if you maybe move Shaman up to that starting line, as we've talked about in this, but, I don't know, who knows if that'll happen. He's, you know, look, he makes some terrible decisions, but most of his career, he's been like pretty much a net neutral to barely positive player.
Yeah.
So I think it does make sense to offer him a contract, especially, you know, if, you know, I can't see him being a bad locker room guy. Like,
he's Paul George's guy. He's super nice. Like, every press media member where he's ever been has been like, he's one of the nicest players you've interacted with.
Yeah. He seems so chill that, you know, I think that, you know, depending on what else is out there, which, you know, we've talked about a little bit, there's not a whole lot on the free agent market.
Yeah.
But there's not also like a whole lot of, there's not just a whole lot of upgrades.
For sure.
But it just depends on what that asking price is.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what comes of that. He took almost three. He took just around three threes a game in the playoffs. So the efficiency was crazy from beyond the arc. But he also did a bunch of kind of Reggie things.
Yeah.
Like there was a play.
What were the turnovers though?
I didn't even
100? Look at
that. So there was a play where Kawhi yanked the ball from Boban, got it to Reggie, who just dribbled into a bunch of Mavs and then turned the ball over. And then Kawhi told him, I didn't pass for that shit. So it seemed like he didn't really like playing with Reggie. Most surprising stat, he was plus 0.5 net rating. So that goes to your point of like, he's kind of a borderline.
He's in a, I mean, like, player. And that's kind of what he's been for most of his career. He only averaged 0.4 turnovers. In
there
the
you
playoffs,
go.
So I am very impressed.
And in the playoffs, especially against the Mavs, you know, he got a game winner hit over him by Luka Doncic, which was kind of Doc's fault also for continually not understanding that the switch onto Reggie was bad.
That was brutal, man.
That's one of the most frustrating parts of this play.
That I can't even put on Reggie, I feel like.
No, because he's putting those... It's the same thing with Trez, right? Where you're putting these positions where it's like, hey, Trez, go guard Boban.
Yeah.
Hey, Trez, go get a rebound over Boban. Hey, Reggie Jackson, go get switched on to Luka Doncic. That's been happening all game.
Yeah, so definitely not put in positions to succeed, but there were high points throughout the season. You know, it looked like he was going to be... a productive member of that bench and kind of help open things up.
He was flying his start with the Clippers. He was shooting some absurd percentage from three. Everyone was loving it. And it was like, this just might be a change of new scenery burst. He came crashing back down to earth in the bubble.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I mean, I think the 3-point, like, I don't think that those percentages that we saw this year in the playoffs were real. I mean, he's like
44 and 53 is like a head scratching.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think he would struggle to stay at 40.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's decent. I think, yeah, if we keep him, it just depends on who else you get. If you get Jeff Teague for the same amount, probably go with Teague.
You have to go
with
Jeff Teague.
I take the swing on Jeff Teague. He's only 2 years older.
And I mean, Reggie, so I rounded up Reggie's assist numbers. He was really at like 0.9, so it wasn't even a full assist per game in the bubble. Which,
yeah.
Like, dude, we need the backup point to assist more than almost one time a game.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah, you would think so.
What's your grade for his season/postseason? On the Updike scale, which is a C, means you kind of got exactly what you expected. That whole thing.
I gotta say C to maybe C minus. And I know that that might, like,
no, I mean, I think it's that Reggie, might, right?
Like, yeah.
In on the whole, it's kind of what, if you watched Reggie Jackson throughout his career, which I personally didn't a lot, but everything that I heard from Pistons and kind of Thunder fans was like, this is what you get.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much as expected, right?
Streaky. Like,
yes.
Like, bad defense.
Yes.
bad decision making.
I did think that he might have the ability, like, given the circumstance of the bubble, to maybe have a better performance.
He could have been a bubble darling. He kind of was
through the regular through the resumption of the regular season. That was not really the case.
Yeah. He hit a lot of good FU threes.
Yeah.
Which I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
I think I got to give him like a... It might be C minus, D plus.
Yeah, it's right in that range.
When Lou's yelling at you about defensive stuff,
yeah,
I know he's bad at defense, but like...
He also just didn't... I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, but it's just one of those things where you're like, come on, man.
Agreed. And I think, though, that part of that, too, was like... He was a last-minute kind of thrown-in piece.
Definitely. Yeah, fair point.
You know, like, he was thrust into a role that was pretty much unlike what he's been playing for his entire time in Detroit.
He was bad when he started for the Clips, but it's like, what do you expect for his first game? I think he had to start.
Yeah.
For the Clippers.
Yes. Like, yeah, he did. And it was awful.
Yeah. And then it continued to be bad, but that's a point to, you know, this lack of system, not really understanding your job because no one maybe kind of fully understood their job sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird year for Reggie. The highs were very high,
man. I was
a lot of tweets of like, we got Reggie Jackson for free. And then like the next day being like, I should delete this.
Damn you, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let us know what you think about Reggie Jackson at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. Coming up, we're going to be talking kind of some changes we want the new coach and or regime to bring into the Clippers.
Yes.
But first, we have to give a shout out to DoorDash. You've counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is so easy. You open the app, choose what you want to eat, and DoorDash will be at your door, leaving your food safely outside with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Also, shout out DoorDash for getting over to Australia. Many of your local favorite restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app and select your favorite local spot, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA, all capital letters, one word. That's right, just $5 off your order and zero delivery fees. Enter code LOCKEDONNBA at checkout one more time. That is code LOCKEDONNBA, all capital letters, one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Okay, so we're back. This is sort of a return to the Thirsty Thursday segment.
Yeah.
And a look at the new regime.
Man, I tweeted about how I just wish we knew who the coach was already.
Yeah.
The season might start in January. It might start in March. We don't know when the hell it's going to start.
Probably January.
But with that uncertainty, you want a coach in there. And I'm not saying like the Clippers should like rush their process at all. This is from a personal fan standpoint.
Just give it to Sam.
I mean, yeah, why not?
Stop wasting time.
So, I mean, what does this team need from the new coach / coaches? Because we don't know, you know, the total of who's going to be brought in, right? Because coaches have their guys.
Yeah, definitely.
What does this team need? What do you think the most important this team needs is?
Somebody who can bring this into one cohesive sort of unit.
Vision.
And I think that, like, we have so much damn talent that, like, I don't even think they need to be, like, a brilliant, like, tweaker of plays.
We don't need
and,
a Jed
like,
Bartlett, if you
yeah,
will.
Yeah. A man with a beautiful mind.
Yeah.
You know, I think it has, I mean, obviously that stuff is good to have, someone who can draw up a ATO or whatever when you need it, but I think the most important thing is going to be somebody who can get the players on the same page and
apparently get the locker room
sorted and get control of the locker room. And, you know, I think if Doc couldn't do it, that seems like a really tough task
for sure. The thing that's so difficult with the Doc thing is that I think so much a part of the locker room issues were him just refusing to understand that maybe Zoo was a little better than Harrell in some situations.
Yeah.
In terms of the bubble stuff. Like,
yeah.
I can see that being a big issue of like, dude, come
I don't know.
On.
If I'm Kawhi and I'm putting up some of those games that he had, and then you have to pull the team out of a hole because Montrezl Harrell has just played a 6-minute stretch.
You're frustrated.
I would be livid. I would be livid.
Yeah, it is fair. So I think that's a big thing for the new coach. Team offensive identity, like when someone, like we talked about, when someone asks you how do the Clippers play offense, it'd be nice to have an actual answer other than Kawhi and PG. Because, like, you know, Doc is good at when he wants to run, like, there's double horns, there's all these things, there's some beautiful ATOs we've seen, but it just felt like it
goes out the window.
It goes out the window.
Yeah. And we just need, I mean, like, I don't even think it needs to be necessarily that complex. Like, I would like to have Landry on, like, maybe some more off-ball cutting and movement in general. But in the absence of that, just, like, some setups to get guys opportunities.
Help unlock maybe Zoo's passing that we've heard so much about that we've never seen really put into effect.
I don't think we will, but...
Fair.
I like the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot kind of up in the air. I think chemistry is going to be a big issue. I don't think it's the biggest issue because I think winning solves a lot of that stuff too.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
Yeah, it's just, and I'm a little worried, like from a personnel perspective, it seemed like everyone who was not at the head coach level in terms of coaches and stuff has a great place inside this Clippers organization.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Natalie's great. Cassell's great. I don't want to see too many changes from that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, that makes drastic change kind of a little scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing they need is just someone who can take control of the locker room.
I'm wondering if because a lot of people point to how the head trainer is still the same trainer from when Sterling had the team. And
yeah,
they blame a lot of injury stuff on the trainer, which I'm not sure how much of that is 100% valid. I think some of it kind of is. When you have a bunch of injuries, it's fair to be like, what the hell is the training staff doing a little bit?
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's maybe a big change. Because that, in my mind, is maybe something Ballmer sees as drastic because he kept him from
definitely
the first regime change, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's so many questions with the new coach, and I don't think we're going to get any leaks. We're not like the 76ers who are already talking about everyone they're interviewing and stuff like that. What has to happen for the fan base / us to freak out about the new hire? Because that's going to happen. Unless it's an in-house promotion, I think people are going to freak out. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's a new coach. It makes sense to kind of lose your mind a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good call. I don't know, man. I think I almost worry more about like a D'Antoni hire or like someone who is used to like orchestrating like a greater scheme.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like we've gone back and forth on, like, obviously we want the team to run actual offense.
Yes.
But I don't know that like trying to mold these players to fit a certain thing is necessarily going to work.
Yeah, you have. Yeah,
and
sure.
I think trying to implement like a drastically new system when you essentially only have 1 year left, that to me is high risk. It's possibly high reward, but that's something that would kind of make me nervous. Like a coach who's kind of, I don't know, more set in those sort of
putting
ways.
Guys in weird positions or something like that. Like, yeah, I don't want any scenario where we hear, because we're not going to hear anything from Kawhi himself, but I want to hear any scenario where it's like, wow, it seems like PG doesn't really like his current role, or seems like some of the bench guys are unsure about their current role in the system and how it's going to work.
Because
like, if we have early hiccups with this new coach, it's going to be a disaster from a kind of just press PR standpoint.
Yeah.
Because the focus is going to be on the Clippers even more next year with this new coach. With the fact, you know, not like the focus is ever that large from a national media perspective, unless things are going poorly for the Clippers. But they're going to be under even more of a microscope now that we have someone who is expected to at least take us to a Western Conference final.
Yeah. I don't think that there is any way for people to not freak out. I mean, I think I'm going to freak out no matter what the choice is. Yeah. Until we see the result, you know, until we're kind of proven otherwise, I kind of feel in my gut, like maybe Sam Cassell is just the right way to go.
I'm not mad at it. First time head coach.
He has the locker room already.
Yeah.
The dude has been on the court during warmups with these guys. I mean, like, you know, it's just a different approach. And, you know, he doesn't have maybe the experience, but if he has, you know, Rex Kalamian still on the defensive end, and, you know, we already had a good offense last year. I think it's just like, it's just reps. And, you know, like making sure that
consistency with the roster.
Yeah. And like making sure that those, you know, like whatever core actions they need to be are like drilled into guys. So it's, you know, it's second nature. Yeah. I think that is weirdly the one that would freak me out the least.
If Cassell?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting if Lou doesn't get a head coaching job if we promote Cassell, if Lou would stay.
I don't think so. He's already getting other head coach. Well, I mean, he's getting interviews. We don't know if he's getting offers.
Yeah.
But.
So from that perspective, I wonder if they just promote Lou and then keep Sam. I would like to keep both those guys if possible.
Yeah. So you're saying Lou is head coach.
Or Cassell if Lou would somehow be down with staying.
He's not going to be.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's not
going
to take an assistant coach.
I'm saying Ty Lue. And I think Ty Lue
is kind of that kind of guy too.
Yeah, and we don't know what like the contract situation with the coach is going to be.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't
just
matter.
Pay people.
Yeah.
Why do coaches even have contracts?
Like, it doesn't matter if it's 1 year. It doesn't matter if it's 5 years. Like, it truly does not matter to this organization.
What's the record got to be at the All-Star break for you to freak out about the to later on freak out about the coaching hire. Worse than it was this year?
Yeah.
Not that it was bad, but I just mean from that like benchmark.
We're assuming it's like what, at like the 55 game mark, 52 game mark?
Yeah.
If we've amassed 20 losses in that time period,
if we're not in the top three seeds,
I feel like I'm a little worried.
Yeah, if we're not in the top three seeds, I'll be a little
depends worried. Though. I mean, like, because a lot of times those, like, or at least this year, like, it, other than the one seed, everything was really pretty tight. 2 through 4.
Good call.
Two through five.
Yeah.
I would not be thrilled though.
No, it's gonna be. Yeah, and they're, I mean, knowing the drastic change thing, we don't know what that means in terms of how long of a leash the coach is going to have in terms of that kind of thing. Like, yeah.
But if we've already amassed 20 losses and there's still 4 more months of basketball.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too good.
I'm a little worried.
Well, let's hope they make the hire soon so we can start dissecting all of their old film.
Yeah.
And everything like that. Coming up, we're going to be talking Doc interviewing with the 76ers, which is happening today, September 30th. But first, Will, auto parts.
Oh, man.
What are we talking?
Thing about auto parts is they can be difficult to source.
They can be difficult to source.
Luckily, rockauto.com is here to make that easy. They're a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can shop auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need, and the catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate.
Oh, yeah.
See all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Speaking of prices,
what?
They're always reliably low at rockauto.com, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck or van or Caterpillar. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Okay, welcome to interview talk / shavings edition. Doc is interviewing for the 76ers job. Don't do
already
it.
Already there
today on the 30th. Like, don't do it, man. This seems like a worse situation, obviously front office wise than the Clippers. Media wise, it seems like a lot worse.
Tough market, yeah.
Tough market. Locker room wise doesn't seem any easier than the Clippers.
Not at all.
Like,
not at all.
This seems like a nightmare for Doc.
I got to agree, man. I do think that roster is kind of fundamentally flawed. So maybe that does lean into the Doc with his back against
just
the wall.
Just trying stuff out.
Coaches
Toby
better.
At the point. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a good, I don't think it's a good fit.
And I wish I kind of knew what Doc Rivers' style of basketball actually was so I can kind of know from that perspective. But, like, I guess that kind of helps him here because the 76ers don't really have a defined, like,
yeah,
they're so
sure.
Up and down.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And they're, yeah. I mean, if they're willing to make, you know, anybody available for D'Antoni, they might do the same for Doc.
They
help
have
him, help him bring in somebody else, you know, get off some stuff. But they do have...
They have good pieces is the thing.
Yeah, but they also have some young talent, which I guess I begin to worry about if you bring in Doc Rivers. I mean,
yeah,
even...
Shake Milton
even,
might have a bit of a plateau if Doc Rivers comes there.
Yeah, I mean, even Ben Simmons, man, he's only played 3 seasons. Like, he is...
He's a young guy.
He's a young guy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know how that kind of is a fit.
When kind of youth development was one of the things brought up.
I feel like the Pacers kind of make the most sense.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of, who are they even interviewing? Are they like us where they
don't? I haven't really heard anything.
They keep it tight.
Yeah. I haven't really heard anything on that.
If the roster stays the same for the 76ers, how far do they go with Doc? Second round exit? Same with the Clips?
Yeah, man. I don't know. The top teams in the East are just really, really good.
Yeah.
So if you're not one of them, I don't really know how you get past the second round.
And I mean, yeah, the Heat are, what, a 5th seed?
Yeah.
So even the middle.
Yeah.
You're looking at some tough stuff. I think this would be such a rough time for Doc. I don't think he can't coach well in this scenario, but it seems so difficult.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's set up for success. What about OKC?
Young talent, though, right?
Yeah.
They have a whole mess of picks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, reunited with Shea.
And,
I mean,
and CP3.
Not that that relationship was that great, but...
I mean, and CP3.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting to me.
I'm not mad at that. What about this? What if the 76ers hire Ty Lue and Doc to be dual head coaches?
What about this? Thibodeau hires Doc as his assistant.
What?
To the Knicks.
Oh, my God. Dude, that would be... I'm excited to watch Tibbs deal with the media in New York. And if Doc was there,
how
too,
many
to
years
also
does he
have
last?
To deal with the media in New York, that would be a good time.
How many years does he last?
I don't know. They're going to be paying coaches forever.
Yeah.
Over there. Yeah, we hope Doc finds the right fit. I hope if the... All we know right now is that the 76ers, I guess the Pels have reached out too.
Pels is kind of interesting.
Again, though, young players.
Yeah,
like it's these teams where I'm like, guys, one of the reasons he didn't continue his tenure with the Clippers was the young player issue.
Yeah.
I hope Doc finds a stress-free, like, the Thunder seem quasi-stress-free.
I just feel like expectations are pretty low.
And expectations, if you're like the 76ers are absurdly high.
Oh, yeah.
Every year. I don't know. No one said Nate McMillan to coach the Clippers, which I think makes sense.
I don't really see it.
Yeah. What about this? Blatt.
You know, I'd kick the wheels.
That would be a dramatic change. That'd be a fun time. It'd be weird.
Players don't really like him, though. No. It seems like.
But I think from that perspective of, like, he's such a hard ass.
Yeah.
Which this team might need that. Maybe the identity from this team comes from the head coach to trickle down. Trickle down historically with a lot of things like economics.
Always successful.
Yeah, I was going to say 100% work. but with vibe on a team, I think having a coach, you know, because like Boylan tried to do it to the extreme, which was a goddamn nightmare because he's a horrible basketball coach.
Also young guys, though, you know, there's a lot. This is like the third or fourth oldest team in the league right now.
Yeah, true.
So I think that depending, you know, they might react differently to it.
Man, there's so much stuff up in the air.
But like you said, man, as far as the Clippers are concerned, the only thing they need to do is win.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to solve every single locker room problem. That's going to solve everything.
Yeah.
Just win.
Al Davis said it best. Just win, baby. Anything else in shavings?
Nah, let's get the heck out of here.
Let's get the heck out of here. Thank you so much for listening, by the way.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Still lots of Clipper stuff to talk.
Oh, yeah. Where can these fine people tell us? Tell their friends to listen to us.
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Google Podcasts. You can tell your smart speaker, play Locked On Clippers, which is, you know, pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
If you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. Helps us out. So, yeah, rock with us.
Yeah, come hang out. Friday's episode. Hey, Carl Tart's back.
Hey.
We're going to be talking, you know, all things Doc. We're going to do a Love, Mary quarantine. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then. It's going to be a good time. And, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. We'll have all other breaking news for you guys on Monday, of course, because we come at you 5 days a week. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.